Now let's go to Pastor Brian as he picks up where he left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the priority of love.
But what about my sin after I come to Jesus Christ? Well, that's what he's going to quote in verse 8 of Romans 4. This is awesome. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. There's the word impute. He doesn't think upon it, doesn't credit to your account. So not only do you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to your account, now you have your sin, our evil things that we continue to do, not written down on our accounts. That's the love of God. That's the type of love that God would desire us to walk in as well. That when someone wrongs us, we wouldn't write it in the ledger of our minds saying, I'm going to get at that individual, or, you know, I'll forgive him, but I'll never speak to him again. Or I hope I never see him. I hope I never run into him. That's holding that person to account for that. And only God could come in and break that over our minds and over our hearts. And it has to start here in that we first understand this is the way God has treated us. Because if you don't understand that, you'll never be able to treat anyone any differently. You cannot give out what you do not have. And first of all, you need to understand scripturally the love of God, that he's credited to your account the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and now when you sin, he doesn't hold it against you. Now, sure, there's discipline in this life. Yes, when we get out of line, God will discipline us like any father will. But when we stand before him, we're going to be in the righteous robes of Jesus Christ, accepted. Ephesians 1 verse 6 says we're accepted in the beloved. God accepts us now because of what Jesus Christ has done. And yet I'll continue to fail, and yet I'll continue to sin till the Lord takes me home, but yet he doesn't keep writing that down in a book saying, wait till Brian gets here, I have some words for him. Because over it is the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. He paid it in full. Now, this is the same way that God wants us to treat others. That when someone wrongs us, we don't put it in that ledger, but we forgive. Again, I do not think the Bible at all says forgive and forget, because your mind is like a computer, and it could bring up things for so many years ago, and it could be fresh, as almost as fresh as the day that it happens. But when that happens, you don't allow it, you don't think upon it and say, I can't wait to get at that individual, or I want to say this to them, or they deserve this, or you're praying, you know, secretly in your mind, God, wipe that individual out, or do something to them. That's when you're holding that against them. Now let's look at a very important scripture. We will look at a couple more. Ephesians chapter 4. Let me read you a quote from one of the church fathers, Chrysostom. He said this about the love of God. He says, love is like a spark. It falls into the sea and is quenched. When an injury falls upon a loving Christian, it is drowned just as surely. So just as a spark flies into the ocean and puts out, so that's what happens when an injury comes to us. It's quenched. May God help us to live that way. Ephesians 4, verse 31 and verse 32. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away with you with all malice. That's all the negative stuff. Those are stuff we need to put away. But again, the Bible puts a higher plane to walk on. It's not just saying don't speak evil of people. You know, I was taught as a child, which is good. If you can't say anything nice, you know the rest, right? Don't say nothing at all. But the Lord wants us to go even further than that. It's not just not speaking out against somebody. And he says in verse 32, and be kind to one another. Then we read about love is kind. And the root of that word kind in 1 Corinthians 13 means to do something beneficial for somebody. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. What's the opposite? Someone that's angry is hard-hearted. They, you know, they won't listen and they won't receive anything. They're bent on wanting vengeance or wanting justice, and they want their way. Tender-hearted. Now here it is, forgiving one another just as God in Christ also forgave you. Now here's the standard. We forgive in the same way that God forgave us. And how was that? Did we earn that forgiveness? Did we even necessarily change? There's still areas that we're stumbling over that when we got saved we were stumbling over, and God still continues to forgive. And so we don't say, well, I'll forgive them when. Aren't you glad when you came to God in Jesus Christ and you said, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. I want to receive salvation. And he didn't come back and say, I'll forgive you when this area straightens up. He takes us as He is. And that's grace. That's love. And now the Lord would want us to forgive in that same way. And I know the reaction that happens in people's hearts and mine, even my own mind. Well, you don't know what that individual did to me. Well, look what all we did to Jesus Christ. And as He has forgiven us, now we're to forgive others. And this word forgive, forgiving here, it actually can be translated gracing one another, just as you have been graced in Christ. And so it's not because they earn it or deserve it. It's by grace that you release them from that. To release them by grace is really the definition of forgiveness. And so we can translate this, gracing one another, just as God in Christ also graced you. So the way you were treated by God, we just went over that. That's why we spent some time looking at that, where God says, it's paid in full, been imputed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and I no longer hold your sin against you. Now God tells us to do the same to others. And I have found that this is one of the stumbling blocks in many Christians' lives. Because it's not an outward sin. It's something that you carry on in your heart and in your mind, and no one else may even know about it. And it may be something that goes on back to years, and a lot of times these are family situations. These are parent-child situations, relationships that still continue to be strained. And I've shared my testimony a number of times that my relationship with my father growing up was horrible. And I left my house as a teenager and was in a couple foster homes, and I had bitterness in my heart, anger. Anger to the point where I did want to do physical harm to him, and I had those thoughts in my mind. And I came to Christ in that state. That's one of the first things the Lord dealt with my heart, was to bring forgiveness towards my father. Because I believe I wouldn't have progressed as a Christian if I didn't have this forgiveness in my heart. Because God wants to grow us in love, not just an understanding of the Bible. And I could have went away to Bible school and studied and knew all theology and Greek and Hebrew, and yet if I wasn't growing in this area of forgiveness, I truly wasn't growing, and I would not be an effective minister of the gospel. So I know the depths of the pain that, to a degree, I don't know exactly your situation, but I knew God changed my heart, He could change yours. But if you continue to justify it and say, I'm never going to forgive that individual, or I'm not going to talk with them, or they don't deserve it, and you have all these rationalizations, you're the one being ripped off. And that's unfortunate. Because if you harbor bitterness in your heart, I believe it strangles off your relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not saying it cuts it off, but it quenches the Spirit. Because the Spirit is convicting your heart, even right at this moment, saying you need to deal with this individual. And when you keep saying no, 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 it begins to grieve the Spirit of God. And He's not able to work and bring the fruit that He's desiring to do to the degree. And then also your own mind is plagued with bitterness and anger. And, you know, I don't know much about being a medical doctor, but I believe this is one of the causes of people's diseases that they have. It's the stress on their body, and their body breaks down. Because God didn't create us to carry anger and bitterness. And it's a turmoil that's happening inside. There's no doubt in my mind that it affects the health of somebody. The Bible says, you know, it's a merry heart that's good medicine. I mean, you have a clean heart, and you just walk in God's grace and God's mercy, you'll be healthier. There's no doubt about it on a day-to-day basis. You'll have a degree of health that you wouldn't experience if you're quenched off. Even the Lord said, children, obey your parents. And all parents know that verse, right? It's one of our favorite ones. Quote it daily. Because for this is right. And then it says so that your life will be long and well on the earth. And that's where so much of this turmoil and anger gets built up, is a parent-child relationship. And everybody loses out, but especially the child. Their life will not be long or well. It'll be filled with frustration and bitterness. And that's no way to live. And when Jesus Christ comes in our life, that's the only way to be able to deal with this anger and forgiveness and need to forgive others. Because see, if you don't have Jesus Christ, I understand that you say, that person doesn't deserve forgiveness, I'm never going to forgive them. Or you may come around to a selfish reason and say, well, I'll forgive them because it's going to be better for my own heart and mind. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, God's wiped out all your sins, so now you do the same for others. You be tender-hearted, you be gracious to them. Pray for them. Do good to them. And that's only when the love of God by the Spirit's been poured in our heart that we're able to say, okay, I'll do that. With your help and with your strength, God, I'm willing. Change my heart. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 18. This is, in my mind, no doubt, the best parable on forgiveness. clear as could be. Matthew 18 and verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. See, the rabbis taught that you need to forgive someone three times and that's it. Because they use these weird scriptures in the Old Testament that says God only forgives three times and that's it. Thank God that's not true. So Peter actually thought he was being really gracious. I'm going to more than double what the rabbis are telling me to forgive. And so I'm sure that Peter came with a confidence that seven, that's a good number, Lord, right? Isn't that gracious and kind of me? Well, not quite. Jesus said to him, I do not say up to you seven times.